I really appreciate that from my heart. You can be seated. I was sitting out in the car and I was telling Betty that that was some good preaching. I said, Jack's really saying some good things. And I was telling her it wouldn't bother me if he just went on and preach. That's one reason I didn't come into the tent till a little late. And then when I come under the tent, it looked like the anointing was still on Jack. And I really enjoyed the things he was saying. He said some wonderful things. I noticed he especially emphasized the fact that people do stand behind different ones, you know. And then when a real man of God comes along, they don't seem like they get lost or something. Something happens to them. But it is a true fact that if you don't rally to the man of God, then the Lord will send along something that will cause you to get into the wrong frame of mind, you know, and go the wrong way. So it's a real pleasure to be out here tonight. Good to feel the wonderful presence of God and to see you here, seeing that you love the Lord. And it would have just suited me just fine if he had just continued right on, because he was stirred up and anointed in the things of God and I was enjoying it. You know, the main thing we want is the voice of God. Isn't that right? Doesn't matter who the preacher is, as long as we have the voice of God. And that makes a lot of good sense. Matter of fact, he was saying some things I kind of felt like, while I was listening, I kind of felt like that you folks was getting something there. I was. And I was wondering how many of you were seeing what he was saying, because I saw some, as far as I could tell, I saw some spiritual things there that Jack was saying, a number of things, some prophetical things. It appeared to me that while he was anointed and speaking, there were some prophetical things that was coming forth, and I feel the Holy Ghost as I say something about it. And then I also noticed that he got on some things there for a few minutes that was revelational too, that there would have been real rich. And I think maybe he kind of felt under pressure a little, because we were supposed to preach tonight, and he kind of drawed back a little. And it'd have been wonderful if he could just went right on, because I was beginning to get into some things and really enjoy them. But anyway, we're here, and we're glad to be here. We've been blessed, and we are fortunate to have been blessed in our lifetime. Or I say this a lot of times, ministering to the people. I went for numbers of years, and we preached the Word of God across the nation. And we prayed, and we fasted, and we done whatever we could. And we was under the tent, and in the auditoriums, and open-air meetings, wherever. And we had a good time, real good time in the Lord. And for numbers of years, we saw people repent of their sins, and we saw people healed. And the Lord blessed us. He gave us some real wonderful things. But I still, with all of that, I never knew there was any such thing as the revelation of Jesus Christ. I never knew there was any such thing. I'd read in the Bible something about that, but it never had registered to me. Even with reading the Bible, I'd read it many times, but it never had registered to me that there was any such thing as the revelation of Jesus Christ. And of course, last night I read to you where Paul said, "These things was made known unto me by spiritual revelation." Now, is it all right for me to talk with you just a minute or two to kind of correlate your minds here and see if we can get you together? You know, the Bible said, "I serve God with my mind." Paul said, "I serve God with my mind." And in that God is a spirit, the only way you can serve God is with your mind. I know, you know, the first thing we think of when you say with the mind, we think of our head. We think of our brain. But that's not where your mind is. Now, I know scientists would dispute with me over that, you know, because they can only talk about what they see, and they can only go as far as they see, and that's all they see is your head. But your mind is not in your head. Your mind is in your heart. Your brain is in your head. And you make contact a lot of times with the brain or with the heart, ever how you would do it, with your five senses. Your brain makes contact with the world of five senses, and everything that happens goes to your brain. And your brain commands the members of your body. But see, when you make contact with God, you don't make contact with your human senses. You make contact with the world with your human senses. And you make contact with Satan with your human senses. Satan is the prince of the world. So you make contact with your human senses. Through your human senses, you make contact with Satan. But when you make contact with God, you make contact with God with your heart. The Bible said, as a man thinketh in his heart. He does his thinking in his heart, which means his mind is in his heart. So then his brain is in his head, and he's got his five senses, but his mind is in his heart. And of course, I had to learn that. It took me a few years before I ever understood that or ever come to that. And I never could make contact with God. And I tried every way that I knowed how to do all that I knew to do. But I never could make contact with God. There was always something there that seemed to be a blockage between me and God. And it wasn't until I learned that the mind is in the heart and that you serve God with your thoughts or with your mind, it wasn't until then that I began to make contact with God. When I came into that, I began to make contact with God and my whole world changed. And then came the revelation of Jesus Christ. So most people, they live in their head and they live out here in the world, you know. I mean, that's all they know to do. They're born into that world and they've never really been born again. So then all they do, they go by their human senses. And of course, that creates a real problem if you're going to be a man of God or a woman of God. If you're really called to be a child of God, then that creates a problem. See, like I was telling my wife tonight, and I've said this a number of times to some of you, some people are born for this world. Some people are born again for that world. And there are different levels, and there are different dimensions, and there are different worlds, and there are different heavens. And Paul spoke of the third heaven. So then there are different heavens. And there are different places in life. Like birds, some birds, they're made for a low place of life. They run through the grass like out west. You see what you call the road runners. You know, and then you see another bird that's made up here for a higher place. And then you see another bird that's made for the high rocks way up in the mountains. And he's way up here in the lofty mountains and up in the rocks. See, because that is his place. And God has done the same thing. The Bible said all of the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly understood by the things which do appear. So then when we look around us and we see all of these natural things, every natural thing is a type and a shadow of the spiritual invisible world. You understand what I'm saying? Every natural thing, it is a type. As a matter of fact, we might add this. Paul the Apostle, I'm saying these things for a reason, we'll get around to it in just a few minutes. But Paul the Apostle spoke of types and shadows. And then he spoke of allegories. He spoke of things that we can't see as to invisible things. And he spoke of all of these things having a body. Spoke of terrestrial bodies and celestial bodies. And he spoke of bodies that decay and bodies that don't decay, corruptible and incorruptible. And he spoke of the glory of the stars and the glory of the sun and the glory of the moon. And he spoke of the glory of one body being one thing and the glory of another body being another thing. Well, I have to be honest with you, I didn't know what in the world he was talking about. For years, I just didn't know what he's talking about. I was just completely lost. I thought, well, it sounds good, you know, Paul. And I'm sure you understand. And I just didn't understand what he was talking about. But anyway, it's a great, wonderful world. The revelation of Jesus Christ is a great, wonderful thing. If you ever come into the revelation of Jesus Christ, you'll never be the same anymore, never more. And so, Paul, coming into the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, he was caught up into the third heaven. Saw things that was not permitted for men to speak. Well, let me say this to you. All of these invisible things are seen through allegoric types. Paul said in all of the invisible things, all of the spiritual things, all of the things that you naturally or can't see, all of these things are clearly understood by the things that you can see, by the things which do appear, even to the eternal Godhead, so that we are without excuse, the writer said. So then we see that we don't have to have a dispute over this and a dispute over that. We can understand it. But the only thing about it, to be able to understand it, we're going to have to be spiritual. Paul said, I would like to speak unto you as unto spirituals, but seeing that you're babes in Christ, he said, I can't. So he said, just desire the sincere milk of the Word. I travel across the different parts of the nation and across the world, and I meet people, you know, and to me, when they present themselves, as a prophet, or they present themselves as an apostle, or they present themselves as some great spiritual person. And when I catch their spirit and when I examine their spirit, I find that they're just a little bitty baby. And they don't even hardly know what they're doing. Like about the first time, I guess it was, that we went into Israel. We got into the Holy Land, and when we got there, a man, wasn't long before a man met me. He came to me, and he began to tell me how glad he was to see me and what it meant just to have me over there. And he kept on talking, and I kept trying to find his spirit because I was puzzled. He was a stranger to me, and I kept trying to find his spirit. And after a while, I got in on his spirit, and I saw his spirit, and what it was, in his spirit, he felt that he was one of the prophets, like Elijah and Moses, and I was the other one. And finally, through our conversation, he finally got around to telling me. And I've had a number of ministers that I've met in the past. And these ministers, they eventually got around to telling me the same thing, that I was one of the prophets and they were the other prophet. And like a man said one time concerning the seventh angel, people speak about the seventh angel, the sounding of the last trump, and this fellow, he got so confused, he said, well, how many seventh angels are there? So, I said all that to say this. You can think that you are spiritual and not be spiritual at all. And there's a good possibility that you are called to be a spiritual person. And being called to be a spiritual person, you may neglect your calling when you could be spiritual, and you may go through life just being natural. You know, just being natural-minded. To be naturally minded, to be carnally minded, is death. Are you listening to me? It doesn't matter what kind of following you belong to. It doesn't matter what kind of church you belong to. It doesn't matter who you believe in, so far as an individual. But you can still be carnally minded, just as carnally minded as one could be, and be just as dead could be. So to be carnally minded is to be dead. And the Bible said, they that live in trespasses and sin, they are dead while they live. So to be carnally minded is death. See, because God is a spirit, and as long as you are carnal in your thinking, then this means that you make no contact with God. No contact whatsoever. You are dead. See, and when you pass over the scene, when your spirit departs from your body and you pass over the scene, you go into the lake of fire. You go into hell because you have never made contact with the Holy Spirit. Somebody says, but I shout, Brother Pike, I speak in tongues. Doesn't make any difference. You can speak in tongues. When you depart, you still go into the lake of fire. You can shout, you still go into the lake of fire. You say, you mean to tell me that I do all these things and have a good time in God, Brother Pike, and I still go into the lake of fire? You still go into the lake of fire. You may be able to quote the Bible. I've got a friend, he's a walking Bible, as near as most anybody I've ever seen. But it doesn't matter. That doesn't have anything to do with it. You'll still go into the lake of fire. The Jews are some of the most devout people in the world, but they'll still go into the lake of fire unless they're born again. No way around it. So, like Paul said, we've proven that everyone is under sin, Jew, Gentile, whatsoever. You've got to come through Christ. I'm saying all these things to get around to make it a point, and it takes a long trip around, but we'll get there. So then, speaking to you like this, I'm trying to get you to see what Paul meant when he said, I would that ye was spiritual. spiritual. You were spiritual. I would like for you to be spiritual. So then, when I speak to you tonight, I want your minds. I want your minds, because God is a spirit. And you serve God with your mind. And if you don't give the mind to the minister, then you're lost. Somebody says, oh, but Brother Pike, I've got this and I've got that. I said, if you don't give your mind to the minister, you're lost. That's a positive proof that you are lost. See, when you cannot give your mind to the minister, then you're lost. Because the Bible said it's not the minister speaking, but it is God speaking. Let all the world keep silent, because God is in His temple. And it is God speaking. And if God can't reach out and get your spirit, then that means there's no contact. That means that you are lost. So then when I speak to you tonight, I'm trying my very best to get your minds. I want to get your minds. I want to get your heart. See, if I get your mind, I've got your heart. And God will talk directly to you as an individual. He'll speak to you. A lot of times under our tent meetings, we might lay hands on people and we might prophesy to people, or we might reveal something to an individual. We might be talking to a person and we will perceive their thoughts. The Bible said that Jesus perceived their thoughts in His spirit. And Jesus would say, why does thoughts arise within your heart? See, because He perceived their thoughts within His spirit. And when we give our spirit to God and we serve God with our spirit, then when God anoints our spirit, then through that we can perceive what you're thinking in your spirit and tell just exactly where you're at and what world you're in and what God would like to do for you. See, a physician has a little thing to where they can just flip a button and the little x-ray begins to work and down inside they see. See, and that's where we are. We're spiritual physicians. And when everything gets just right, you just turn on the x-ray. And when you turn on the x-ray, you just look right down in there and see what the problem is. And then you know how to write the prescription. Somebody say, praise the Lord. If you can't do that, then that means you're not a physician. You know, they said to Jesus, physician, heal thyself. So then the ministry had that power and that ability. But the thing I'm trying to get around to is this. That not only does the ministry have a power and an ability, but the membership of Christ, which is the church, also has a power and an ability. You have a power and you have an ability. And that ability is with you just like it is with the ministry. There's a difference in the ministry, because the ministry has a greater measure than those that are following the ministry. But they must have a greater measure. They should have a greater measure. And they do have a greater measure. Thank you, Jack. So they do have a greater measure. See, there is a greater measure because they are indoctrinating you and they are leading you and they are telling you the things of God. And I'll read just a little scripture in just a minute. See, let me say it like this. I hear people so often make this statement. They say, I don't teach doctrine. They'll set up a tent. They'll have a great tent. They'll have a tent full of people. Or they'll have a great crusade. And thousands of people a lot of times will come. And they'll say, I don't preach doctrine. Just like that. To me, that cuts them off. I don't preach doctrine. Just like that. They're cut off. See, when a person don't preach doctrine, they are of the devil. Come on, folks. I don't care if it's 10,000 people. The man that doesn't preach doctrine is of the devil. I have no apologies for that. He's of the devil. The Bible said, who can I teach doctrine? They that are weaned from the breast. And the Bible said, they that abide in His doctrine will not transgress. So then the whole thing is doctrine. We want to indoctrinate you. We want to teach you a doctrine. We're not here to tell you that we don't indoctrinate. You can go out here and draw millions of people if you don't indoctrinate. If you're just like a chameleon that changes with every season and with every color, then that means that you can get with anybody. You can go with anybody and everybody will come. But folks, we're here to teach you a doctrine, and that doctrine is the doctrine of Christ. And if you don't get that doctrine, you'll die and go to hell. It doesn't matter what church you belong to or what following you go with. So then, I just thought I'd drop that in while we were passing. So then, we want to teach you a doctrine. We want you to have a power. We want you to have an anointing. The Bible said, when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, then ye shall receive power to be witnesses for God, to do something for God. Every member of the body of Christ ought to be filled with the power of God and ought to be doing something for God. There's not one member of the body of Christ but what they ought to be doing something for God. So then we're here to try to stir you to do something for God. But there's no need of me running as one that beateth the air, trying to do something for God out of ideology and out of my feelings. I've got to be indoctrinated. Paul spent many years at the feet of Gamaliel and then numbers of years in the Arabian desert trying to get indoctrinated, trying to do something for God. Come on, folks. A lot of folks say, well, we ain't got all that time. The coming of the Lord's at hand. I got to do something. Let me tell you something. If there ain't enough time for you to get indoctrinated, there ain't enough time for you to conform, there ain't enough time for you to develop, then there ain't enough time for you to be used. Come on. God doesn't make mistakes. He calls you in time. Wouldn't you like to have a doctor come out, you know, and you've got to have an operation? And he said, well, I didn't have time to go through school, and I didn't have time to learn how to operate, but you just lay down on this table and we'll take care of it. As far as I'm concerned, if he didn't have time to do that, he don't have time to operate on me. So then we need to understand that God calls in time and God indoctrinates. And if there's somebody in this day that don't know, if there's somebody that's young in God and there's somebody that hasn't had time to get this, then what does God do? He says there's Brother Jack over here and there's a brother over yonder and there's a brother over there. And you get with them and you go do what you've got to do and they'll be right there with you to help you be thoroughly furnished as you go along. And Jack will say, pull it this way and stitches this way and be sure you don't go that way. You understand what I'm saying? You need to get with somebody and quit running across the world, making a mess out of the things of God and telling somebody you're something that you ain't and that you're spiritual when you're not spiritual. Amen. You need to get together and let us get everything together because we're dealing with souls, folks, and we're dealing with minds, and we've got to be sure of what we're doing. We can't play around with this thing. You love the Lord? All right, don't mean to holler at you. I just want to say a few things here. Get around to making a point. All right. So then, what are you trying to say to us, Brother Pye? I'm trying to say that you've got an anointing. You've got a power. You've got something to do for God. And not only am I trying to say that, but I'm trying to tell you that God is wanting to use you in the spiritual gift. And you should be functioning in the spiritual gift. Somebody said, one of these days. We're not waiting for one of these days. God wants to use you in the spiritual gift. Are you listening to me? Now, another thing is God wants you to be spiritual. God don't want you to spend all day long shopping around up here in town somewhere, going into stores and different things and buying and buzzing around town, as we say, listening to the vain jingles with your mind on every natural thing and then hurrying off to church that night to say, hey, thus saith the Lord. God doesn't need you. God wants you to be in your room all day, or God wants you to pray all day, or God wants you to pray all night, or God wants you to be studying, or God wants you to be fasting, or God wants you to be witnessing, or God wants you to be talking to somebody about the Lord, that when you go to church, you'll be spiritual, and when the Holy Ghost begins to move, that you can open your mouth in the Word of God and say something good, folks. I might drop this in passing, get back and unravel it in just a few minutes. God doesn't want a bunch of people that come to church and every time the preacher starts preaching, they jump up and start speaking in tongues. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I said, God doesn't need a bunch of people that every time you go to make a move of God, that people start speaking in tongues. Oh my God, somebody says. Somebody said, Brother Pike, you'll blaspheme the Holy Ghost. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Well, he's not afraid I'm going to blaspheme him, and I ain't either. I said God wants somebody that can come to the house of God and say something to the edification of the church, to either speak to them. Paul said, by a knowledge, by knowledge or speak to them by revelation. Come on, folks. Or speak to them, he said, by doctrine. Or speak to them by prophecy. And he said, greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, unless he will interpret it. Oh my God, somebody said, now you're talking about somebody, you know, being greater than the Holy Ghost, Brother Pike. That's what the Bible says. The Bible said, he that God sendeth, he will speak God's word. Are you listening? I said, the Bible said, greater is the person that speaks and prophesies than the congregation that's speaking in an unknown tongue unless they interpret. Are you listening to me? That means that tongues is not the Holy Ghost. Come on, folks. If it was, then Paul messed up everything. And he blasphemed to start with. Can anybody prophesy and be greater than somebody speaking in tongues if that's the Holy Ghost? Oh, now somebody says, you mean to tell me, Brother Pike, when somebody's speaking in tongues, you don't believe that's the Holy Ghost? I sure do believe it. If they're under the anointing of God, it's very definite the Holy Ghost speaking. But tongues is not the Holy Ghost. The Bible said the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, gave them utterance. And they spake with tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. The same way with prophesying. So then the gifts is the gift of tongues, not the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's the gift of tongues. There's a difference in having the gift of the Holy Ghost and having the gift of tongues. So then, he that prophesieth is greater than he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, unless he will interpret so that the church can be edified. Come on. Let's say amen or oh me, a shut up preacher. Come on now, let's see if this is the truth. All right. So then, I said these things, beloved friend, for this reason. The church is in a complicated mess. Somebody said, now, what do you mean? I mean when a baby messes up his diaper, he's in a mess. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I saw a vision of that one time in California when I was preaching. I've told this a number of times. I was preaching at a church, and that night when I went home to pray and talk to God, I looked and saw a vision, and in the vision was a beautiful palace-like home. And I was coming down the beautiful stairway, and the floor was just like glass, and here was a beautiful Christmas tree over here. And I come walking down, I believe it was with my wife. And I come walking down, and I walked out into the living room, and it was so beautiful. And the tree was so beautiful. It was decorated so beautiful, and it was Christmas morning. And I walked out, and I was in my socks. I had on the most beautiful white socks. And I was just walking along like that, me and my wife. And all of a sudden, I stepped, and I said, oh, my. Oh, my. I don't know what that is. That feels like, you know. And I began to look around, and sure enough, it was. And I looked, and a little baby, precious as it could be. But it had messed that floor up in such a way, and there I was walking in it with my white socks. And I looked, and there was the tree, and there was all those gifts, and I said, my God. You know, I come out of the vision, and I said, oh, my God, what is this? What kind of vision is this? And the Lord spoke to me and said, son, said when Jesus resurrected from the dead, he gave gifts unto men. So this is what Christmas has to do with. That decorated tree said it's the Lord Jesus Christ in the type. That God has beautified it in the type. And he said, and this little baby is a little spiritual person that has got their bowels all tore up because you gave them something too strong. Said in what you've said in preaching to them, you give something too strong. And this little fellow's got his bowels all tore up and said he's just messed up everything. And you'll hear about it. And brother, I did. I'll tell you what, we was having a good meeting, but somebody got their bowels messed up. And like Paul said, I count all my learning as dung, and they begin to spill dung everywhere. And everything was messed up, including my white socks. You know, the Bible speaks of the preparation of the gospel as to the feet, as to the soul. And that's something I don't want to do here. I don't want to do that here. You understand what I'm saying? So I want to tell you the right thing. I want to indoctrinate you in the right way, but the church is in a mess. They've said things, and they've got a conglomeration of a mess, and a lot of them's little babies, and it's a bad situation. The Bible said they sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play, and church had best just been playing and having a good time as a bunch of babies. And Paul said, when I was a babe, or when I was a child, I spake as a child, and when I become a man, I put away childish things. Isn't that right? A little baby trying to say something, it just gets it all garbled up, and it's liable to go any direction with it. When it goes to do something, it's liable to make a mess. It's liable to break something, it's liable to really make a mess. But folks, we're beginning to grow up. We should know the order of the church. We should know what God wants of the church. We should know how the Holy Spirit moves and what the Holy Spirit is and who's got the Holy Spirit. And we should be able to call, as Jack said, black, black, and white, white. The Bible said, woe unto that man that calls evil good and good evil. Or darkness light and light darkness. See, and we need to get to where we're not afraid to speak. And we have wisdom enough to know what to say and what not to say. You understand what I'm saying? And Paul said, I'd like for you to be spiritual. I'd like for you to be spiritual people. I want you to be spiritual people. And if you can understand the spiritual things of God, you can be spiritual. Look at this for just a minute. Paul was a spiritual person. And Paul said, folks, he said, Abraham had two wives. Are you listening to me now? He was a spiritual person. He was talking to the people like this. He said, Abraham had two wives. That was preaching. He was preaching to them. Said, and one of these wives was a bondswoman. And one of these wives, he said, was a free woman. I would say, well, so what? Two wives, Abraham? He said, one of these women answereth to Mount Sinai. Oh, somebody said, Paul, you're crazy. You've gone crazy. You know, them Jews would have said, you're crazy. What are you doing talking about Abraham and his wives and something about a wife over here answering to Mount Sinai? And Paul, he waxed bold. He said, and one of them answers to New Jerusalem, which is the mother of all of us. Are you listening? Paul, are you crazy? What are you talking about? Talking about two women, and one of them answers to a mountain over here, and the other answers to heavenly Jerusalem. Why was he talking like that? Because he had a spiritual insight. He had a revelation. He had an understanding. He had seen something that those carnal-minded people had not seen. He had been away with God, and he said, and this thing was revealed to me by the Spirit. And this is what I'm talking to you about tonight. The Bible teaches that when people come together, that something can be revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God can deal with you. Tonight we're sitting here or standing here, and the Holy Spirit is with us. If God isn't here, what are we doing here? We need to dismiss and go home. Where two or three are gathered in His name, there He is in the midst. You don't have to be jumping and turning over chairs and running and hollering. A lot of times that just keeps the Holy Spirit from working. The Bible said, be still and know that I'm God. And the Bible said, give the more earnest heed to the things that you hear, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And He said, if you just do right and have the right kind of order, all of you could prophesy, He said. All of you could prophesy. So then, we need to function in the body. Let the Holy Spirit move on us. Be spiritual. And if God wants you to prophesy, and Him to prophesy, and them to prophesy, then you need to do that. If God wants you to speak that something has been revealed to you, or God has given you something, then you should do that. Folks, until we come to the mind of Christ, the Bible said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Now, until we come to the mind of Christ and the things of Christ and begin to think like Christ and meditate in His laws day and night and get all this other garbage out of our mind, to cast down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, to meditate in those laws continually, until we come to that place, we're not going to be of any value to God. We're not going to be spiritual. We're not going to do anything. The world isn't going to see the church, and the supernatural will never work in our lives. So then we've got to come to the place to where we're willing to do this and to where we can be perceptive people. Somebody says, well, Brother Pike, I'm just not going to take any chance of doing that. I'm afraid, you know, that I'll be natural, and I'm afraid it won't be God, and I'm afraid that I may say the wrong thing. And so then, because of that, you go right on through life and you never do anything for God, and you're just as dead can be. Now listen to me. God teaches that things can be revealed to you. Paul said, "This was made known unto me by revelation." He revealed it to me. It come to my mind. He spoke to me. The sheep of God know the voice of God. God spoke this to me. God revealed this to me. Folks, God has revealed hundreds and multiplied hundreds of things to me. Paul spoke on one occasion saying, "There was given unto me a messenger of Satan, a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of the devil to buffet me, to keep me from being exalted beyond measure because of my much revelation." I didn't know what he was speaking of, but I do today. There was a devil that followed Paul. And that devil continually, that messenger of Satan, continually spoke to somebody, maybe a man, maybe a woman, maybe to somebody, to stir up their carnal mind to probe at Paul and to come against Paul and to cause Paul trouble. Everywhere he went, they stirred up something against him to keep Paul abased in the eyes of the people. Because just on one or two occasions where they saw Paul and heard Paul speak, they said, "The gods has come down to us." He spoke in such a way that they said, "The gods has come down to us." So God did that. A lot of you have problems. You don't understand that there's devils after you, because God's got a calling for you, and maybe a great calling for you, and you don't give yourself to it. And the devil stays right there to keep you tore up and to keep you cast down and to keep your faith cast down, because he knows if you ever get loose, if you ever meet the right preacher, if you ever do move in the right way, you're going to be an instrument for God and going to be powerful and going to be against his kingdom, and you're going to cause him a lot of trouble. So he keeps you swallowed up with the things of this world. You love the Lord? All right. Now I want to read a scripture. This is kind of a simple text tonight, even though there's a lot of spiritual things that I'd like to go to, I probably won't get to, because really you don't have time to preach a sermon. If you're in Revelation, it doesn't take you but just all night long to preach the sermon. Paul preached all night long. Had a resurrection in the middle of the night. So we just come to just exhort you a little bit. I want to read this to you in the book of Joel. Reading in the book of Joel, chapter 1. I want you to listen now. In the second chapter, down in the 28th verse. "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids. In those days will I pour out of my spirit, and I will shew wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillar of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call." This is way back in the Old Testament. This is the prophet. This is the prophet speaking. It is the prophet Joel. And way back there, he said that he will pour out of his spirit. Now, let's just look around here just for a few minutes. Come way over here in the book of Acts. And we look here in the book of Acts. Now, listen real close. In the book of Acts, in the second chapter, it says in the 16th verse, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." Isn't that beautiful? Here a prophet speaks that hundreds of years before, and here comes a man of God, an apostle, and this apostle picks that up as a revelation, and he said, "Folks, something is happening here at this meeting," and said, "This is that which the prophet Joel spoke of."
He said, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen at that now. Here we are. Pentecost, 3,000 people added to the church. I spoke of it last night. See, and it was coming to pass. Notice now, he said, and I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. That means drunkards, harlots. That means the church, that the blood of Jesus Christ will be on the seat of atonement, and that God will pour out of His Spirit upon all flesh, that He will take away the sins of all men by Calvary, so that He can pour out of His Spirit and give them the love and concern that He needs to give them to woo them to God. Surely the goodness of God leads us to repentance. But folks, the blood isn't going to be on the seat of atonement always. That mercy isn't going to be to the unjust always. The rain is on the unjust right now, as well as the just. You can shout, you can speak in tongues, you can do all of those things because the rain is upon you. And the rain is on the briar just like it is on the wheat. But it isn't going to be that way always. It is right now in that condition to draw you, to draw me, to draw those that are without into the presence of God. For the Bible said, while we were yet in our sins, God sent His Son to die for us. He so loved us while we were yet in our sins that Jesus died for us through His loving grace to pour out His Spirit upon us to draw us to Him. He's going to cut that out one day. It's just going to be on the just. We're getting closer to it. The blood's getting closer and closer, coming off the seat of atonement. That's why I'm talking to you like I'm talking to you tonight. Okay, you say, I feel good. Listen, folks, listen to me. You feel good. You know why you feel good? If you get a pain, you can go to the doctor. You can go to the dentist. You can go up there and have those things taken care of. Are you listening to me? You get hungry, you can go eat. You get thirsty, you can go drink. You know why that you can do that? Because you are in heaven. Come on, folks. You are in heaven. Somebody says, you're crazy, Brother Pike. I said, you are in heaven. That's why you can do that. Somebody says, well, I don't believe that. Well, I'll tell you what, I've said this a lot of times. You wait till you get into hell and you get into the flames of the fire, and then you'll look back and know that you was in heaven. When you can't quench that thirst, and when you can't stop that pain, and when you can't stop the misery, you'll know then that you was in heaven. See, where God's Spirit is poured out, then you are in heaven. There's a first heaven and a second heaven and a third heaven. Paul spoke of being caught up to the third heaven. We're not going to preach on the heavens tonight. That's not what we're going to preach on tonight. But I'm telling you the way it is, folks. Let's look at it again now. Here it is. This is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel. That makes you a great person. Are you listening? You that have the Spirit of God, that makes you a great person. Somebody said, well, how great? Come on, folks. How great then, Brother Pike, am I? Greater than prophets. Greater than prophets. The Bible said there's none greater than John the Baptist, never been one, not even Father Abraham. None born among women that was greater. Are you listening? But nevertheless, he that is the least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the great prophet. And folks, let me tell you something. John was more than a prophet. They said something about him being prophet. Jesus said a prophet, said he's more than a prophet. That this is he that I sent before my face. This is the forerunner. This is what it was spoke. Now the prophet spoke of that when there was coming, the forerunner, the Son of God. But he said, ye that are members of the body of the Lord Jesus, flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, you that have been translated into the kingdom of God. The Bible said the law and the prophets were until John. since that time the kingdom of God has been preached and men pressed their way into it. And the Bible said, for God hath right now translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. He said, the least of you that's in the kingdom, you're the body of Almighty God. You're bone of His bone and you're flesh of His flesh. You're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Said, you're greater than John. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Talking about one glory of the moon and one glory of the stars, and we're talking about another glory. Whereas He said, Father, glorify these with the same glory I had with thee before the world ever was. Come on, folks, we're talking about glory now. And the Bible said we're changed from glory to glory. We're going from revelation to revelation. We're going from one thing that's revealed to us to another thing. I'm talking about God revealing something to you. I'm talking about you as an individual serving God. You as an individual having an experience with God. Okay, let's go a little farther. Don't mean to holler at you. I just want to bring out a thought here. Now, it says, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, because the Spirit will be upon all flesh. All flesh. All right? Does that hold true? It says right here in the book of Acts, chapter 21. It speaks here, and it says in the 8th verse, and the next day we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. It said, and these girls prophesied. These girls prophesied. Because it said, it shall come to pass that I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons shall prophesy. But it also said, your daughters shall prophesy. It said, and these four women prophesied. Are you listening to me? I want to get to something here. Not only that, but somebody said, there ain't no more prophets. I don't know where you get that. It's for sure that you didn't get it from the Bible. Now, when the law went away, when John went away, it said, and that was the end of the law and the prophets. Are you listening? And they folded it up and laid it away. So if that was the end of the prophets, then there hasn't been any prophets since Calvary. Because he was the end of the law and the prophets. But according to the Bible, that wasn't what it meant as to stopping people from being prophets. That had a significance, and I wish we had time to bring it out, but it points out here that these women prophesied. Now, you don't find anything in the New Testament concerning prophetess. It's obvious that the prophetess did cease with the Old Testament teaching, but the gift of prophecy did not cease. It did not cease. Paul lines up the ministry. He said, if there's been a change of the law, there must of necessity be a change of the priesthood. So when the law was changed from the old commandments to bring us to the righteousness of God, which is in Christ, then they changed the priesthood, and they brought the fivefold ministry, which is apostles, first prophets, second evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And Paul points this out. He said, and the apostles are first. He numbered them. He said, the apostles are first. It is the apostles that you find their names in the foundations of the great New Jerusalem. They are first. And the Bible said the foundation that Jesus Christ Himself laid as He brought forth these apostles and brought forth Paul as a wise master builder and some of the others to build upon this foundation as to a holy priesthood, a habitation for God. Listen, it also says here in the 21st chapter, listen now, it says, and when He was come unto us, the 11th verse, speaking of Agabus now, listen, the 10th verse, and as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet. Are you listening? I said on this side of Calvary, there is Paul who is an apostle, but all of a sudden there appears a prophet. He said, and a certain prophet, and when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands. Didn't put it around Paul, put it around him. His own hands and feet, and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Somebody say hallelujah. Let's go a little further. You know, if you don't go to the Word, you don't have a foundation. Let's go a little further and take a look. What is this that God is doing? What is it? He's trying to tell us something. He's trying to show us something. And He's wanting us to get a confirmation of the Word, faith by the hearing of the Word. And this way you can found your faith on the Word of God. Let's look here just for a moment. Take me just a minute. How do you love the Lord? Okay. Looking here, one more time. It says here in 1 Corinthians, it speaks in the 11th chapter, the first verse, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Somebody said, don't you follow man. If you follow the Bible, you'll have to follow man. The Bible said, be ye followers of me, and Paul was a man. And when you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible said, following the man, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was the Son of Man. Paul says this, listen now. I praise you, brethren. Somebody said, don't you praise nobody, Brother Parker. You know, just praise God. But now here he goes praising the brethren. He said, I praise you in a good thing. Praise you in a good thing. Paul said, they glorified God within me. Now, I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I deliver them to you. But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ. And the head of the woman is the man. I wish we could preach on that. And the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. Now that's something, isn't it? The man prophesying. But every woman that prayeth to prophesy. Now here it is talking about women prophesying. Prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shown. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shown or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. I'd like to go ahead and say something about that, but I can't tonight. So then, we know that a woman's head is her husband. Her hair is typical of the glory of the church. You don't need to bob it off. I'll get a repercussion out of this. You don't need to bob it off. The devil wants you to bob it off. Why does he want you to bob it off? Because it's symbolic of the church of the living God, the glory of God. And that represents your husband, lady. Your husband, which is your covering, which is your head. Oh, I wish we had time to go into that. But anyway, let's continue on with our thought here. Now, chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. What is it saying? Listen now. Chapter 14, 1 Corinthians, moving on from chapter 12 through chapter 13, where he's speaking of the gifts and speaking in tongues. Chapter 14, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. There's that thing again, prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, Howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth edifieth unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that ye all speak with tongues. And Paul said, I speak with tongues more than ye all, speaking of prayer and worshiping God. I would that ye all speak with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. Paul, you mean to tell me that the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost is speaking in tongues, and here ye rather I'd prophesy? Come on, Brother Paul, straighten us out. Let us know something here. You mean to tell me that all these years that's what we believe and that's what we taught and that's what they were teaching back there? Are you listening? It says, I would that ye all spake with tongues. Glad to hear y'all speak in tongues. That's fine. He went on to say, I speak with tongues more than y'all. But he evidently wasn't in the church because he said, in the church, I'd rather speak differently. Listen. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesy. At the 19th chapter of Acts, Paul met some people up there at the upper coast of Ephesus. He said, folks, have you received the Holy Ghost? Have you received the Holy Ghost? They said, well, we've not so much as heard whether there be a Holy Ghost or not. He said, well, under what was you baptized? Somebody said, just any old way. Ain't got nothing to do with it anyway. If you want to, you can. If you don't, you don't have to. And some fellow said, some people like ice cream, one dips, two dips, or whatever. It's just your pleasure. But Paul said, unto what was you baptized? What's baptism got to do with it, Paul? What's that got to do with it? This is what it's got to do with. The Holy Ghost can be poured out upon you, but you may not have the Holy Ghost. You may not have the gift of the Holy Ghost. You may do all of those things that you think about, but not have the Holy Ghost. Water, water everywhere, and not a drop to drink. So then he said, how was you baptized? They said, we was baptized back down there in the Jordan River, same place Jesus was baptized. Didn't put it in those words. Same man that baptized Jesus, ain't that good enough? He said, no. But that don't have nothing to do with it. You know, we baptized some people in the Jordan River while we was over there this time and the last time too. We've been there about four times. So then, ain't that good enough, Paul? You know, when you're baptized, you're baptized. What that's got to do with it, Paul? No, he said, that's not what it is. It doesn't have to do with the water. It doesn't have to do with the man. He said, salvation is in the name, and the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous flee into it, and they are safe. And you have to call upon the name. It shall come to pass that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the voice said, Paul, go down to the street, call straight. And the man will tell you what to do. And the man down there said, Paul, be baptized. Wash away your sins by calling on the name of the Lord. And the Bible said we are baptized for the dead. We are baptized for the dead. And Paul speaks of the resurrection and the coming of the Lord Jesus. The Thessalonian chains. And said, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be changed. I wish we had time to speak on this. He said, and behold, I show you a mystery. Not all of you is going to sleep. Let's look a little closer. I'd rather that you prophesy. So then the Bible says that Paul rebaptized them in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. For the Bible says that though they had been baptized in the Jordan by John, yet John said, I baptized with water, and you must believe on the name which is coming after me. And folks, let me tell you something. There's no place in the Bible where they ever baptized any other way. In Matthew 28, Jesus said, go baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And those 11 disciples in the Judas had committed suicide, listened to that resurrected Christ and went over there, went to the upper room and was filled with the Holy Ghost, got out there and preached that you should repent of your sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sin. And the Bible said 3,000 of them done what they were told to do, and the first church was set up, and everything was in order. Come on, folks! Glory to God, this is good for the church of God. Somebody say amen. I said this is good for the Baptists. This is good for the Methodists. This is good for the Catholics. This is good for the non-denominationals. This is good for the PTL Club. I said this is good for Pat Robinson and the 700 Club. And this is good for the Charismatics. Glory to God, somebody say amen. Hallelujah. So then, being baptized for the dead, that's why we got such a stink in the land. Some has not been buried yet. So then Paul rebaptized them. Somebody says, bless God, Brother Pike, you mean I've been baptized and I'm going to have to be rebaptized? Don't have to if you don't want to, just any old way you want it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Like I told a preacher one time, and one day he and I crossed paths, and I told him, I said, look, I said, you need to be baptized in Jesus' name. Ah, oh, that didn't have nothing to do with it. I said, all right. I said, you've been told. So he went home and he had a vision, and in the vision he climbed a high tower. He got up here in this tower, and we got up here, it was a place where folks was baptizing. And over here was one pond, and over here was another pond of water. And the voice said to him, said, here's two vats of water. Said, if you're going to be baptized, said, just be baptized. And over here, said, on this side, you can be baptized any way you want to. Said, on this side over here, said, they baptized in my name. You know what he done when he got out of the vision? He got baptized in Jesus' name. Why? Because the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous, the righteous, the righteous, the righteous flee into it and are safe. The others don't flee into it because they're not right to start with. Come on, folks. Hallelujah. They flee into it. The righteous flee into it. And they are safe. It's a strong tower. Hallelujah. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. So then, we're not going to preach on baptism in Jesus' name. We're just dropping that in, by the way. Many things we could say on that tonight. But listen, he rebaptized them in the name of Jesus, and the Bible said they began to speak with other tongues. They hadn't done that before. But the Bible also said they began to prophesy. They began to prophesy. Somebody says, now what's that got to do with it? Brother Pike, if you speak in tongues, and I can accept your prophecy. But if you don't speak in tongues, I can't accept your prophecy. What's that got to do with it? Tongues is not the Holy Ghost. Maybe the Holy Ghost don't want to speak in tongues. Maybe he feels like Paul. He'd rather you'd prophesy. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So then they prophesied. Let me tell you something, folks. If you've got the Holy Ghost, you've got the Holy Ghost. It doesn't matter whether you speak with tongues or whether you don't speak with tongues. This is what's got the Baptists and the Holiness and the Pentecostals and everybody crossed up. Somebody, I've heard people speak in tongues. They said, he's got the Holy Ghost. He's a great man today. He's a man with great reputation today. Speaking tongues, I've heard him. I've heard others speak in tongues. And just as quick as they got through speaking in tongues, they go out and light them up a cigarette. They go out and curse. They go out and do what they want to. They come into the house of God and they shout, women and men alike, shout the shoe heels off and go out and live like the devil. And somebody says, they've got the Holy Ghost. They haven't got the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, don't you believe when they were speaking in tongues up with the Holy Ghost? Could have been, might not have been. But the Holy Ghost is poured out upon everybody. The Spirit is upon everybody. You know, if you get out in the rain, you're just as wet as the duck that got in the pod. But that don't mean nothing, folks. When you got the Holy Ghost, you got Christ. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Christ. And when you got the Holy Ghost, you'll talk like Christ, and you'll live like Christ, and you'll walk like Christ, and your conversation will be in heaven. And the Bible said the child is known by his doings, not by speaking in tongues. If he's got the nature of Christ, he'll live like Christ, talk like Christ, act like Christ. If he hasn't got it, he'll just be a religious devil. Somebody say amen. All right. So then, here it is, prophesying again. What are you talking about, Brother Pike? I'm talking about having the real, genuine, God-given Holy Ghost. I'm talking about being filled with the Spirit of the living God. I'm talking about testifying to people out here in your words and in your deeds. Over in your neck of the woods, if you've got an office over there, when you go into the office, don't be playing around with the secretary. While she's putting arms around you saying, honey and darling, you say, it's all right, I'm full of the Spirit. You are. You're full of the spirit of the devil and the spirit of lust. Come on, folks. When you can stand around and girls can put her arms all around you, all the time messing with you, you don't have God. Oh, somebody says, honey, that evangelist says, honey, come on, honey. Come on, honey, you devil, get your honeys. Because that's what you are, a bunch of devils filled with lust. You understand what I'm saying? Somebody says, my God, Brother Pike, ain't you afraid to say that? Ain't afraid a bit. Not a bit. When a man will play around with a woman, he's got a devil. When a woman will play around with a man, she's got a devil. Somebody said, my little darling God, my little darling girl. Somebody says, she's just a hussy. What is a hussy? She's just like somebody else's little darling hussy. All of them are alike. If it's my hussy or your hussy or whoever it is, when they play around with men, they got a devil. Come on, folks. They're not cute at all. They're not sweet at all. We're not to make special allowance for them because they're our little hussy. If we do, we have to make allowance for the other fellow's little hussy. And after a while, we've got a bunch of devils. Somebody say hallelujah. Feeling so much better, let's go on talking about this good old way. Hallelujah. I'm going to stop in a few minutes. I will. I promise you. I'll stop in a few minutes. So then, preach the word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Brother Jack, preach the word. Brother Pike, preach the word. Brother Roberts, preach the word. Brother Swagger, preach the word. Everybody that's got the word of God, take it in your mouth and preach the word. Come on, folks. Let Jimmy Swagger preach the word. Let old Roberts preach the word. And everybody else that named the name of Jesus that's a preacher, let them get away from the things of the world and let them preach the word. Let them stop this foolishness. Somebody said, there ain't no more prophet, you liar. You don't have any word of God for that. I read it to you here in the word and I can read some more to you. Paul said, when you come together, he said, let the prophet speak. Agabus was a prophet. And the Bible said, when you come together in the church, let the prophet speak. You better believe God's got some prophets. They might not do like you think they ought to do. They might not fit your mode of thinking. But bless your heart, he's got some. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That makes you feel like shouting and dancing, don't it? We allow for that too. So then, let me say a few more words along this way. Preaching the word. What do they need to do? What do they need to do? When Paul preached to Gallio, and he preached to the others. Come on now. The Bible said, and they that heard the word, on the day of Pentecost, 3,000. It said, and they that heard the word, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. Somebody said, but I've got the Holy Ghost. I don't need to be baptized in the name of Jesus. But the Bible said Peter went down to Cornelius' house and he preached baptism in Jesus' name and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And while he talked, the Holy Ghost fell on him. You know, many times in preaching, I feel the Holy Ghost fall on the crowd. And as the Holy Ghost fell upon them, the Bible said they received the Holy Ghost. And Peter said, seeing that these have received the Holy Ghost as well as we have, said, here's some water, said, who can tell me that they should not be baptized in Jesus' name? Glory to God. Isn't that sweet? See, that means that Holy Ghost-filled people need to be baptized in Jesus' name. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, no buts about it. The Bible said, when the Holy Ghost comes, He will guide you into all truth and righteousness. John said to Jesus, said, no, no, I'm not fit to baptize you. He said, that's all right, John said, it's got to be that right way right now. Said, we have to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Come on, folks. Baptism must have to do with righteousness. And the Holy Ghost will guide you into all truth and all righteousness. You say, but Brother Pike, what about all these people that refuse to be baptized in Jesus' name? I'm telling you again, you listen at me, it doesn't matter if it's a television evangelist. We preach on television too. It doesn't matter if it's a radio evangelist. It doesn't matter if it's a tent evangelist. The rain of heaven is coming down upon the unjust. And if you are the just, if you have the Holy Ghost, then He will guide you into all truth and righteousness. And if that man is called of God, He'll preach it to you. Come on, folks. And if He doesn't preach it to you, He is of the devil. I said He's of the devil. Somebody says, my great evangelist, Brother Pike. I said He's of the devil. Jesus said, what I say to one, I say to all. Come on now. What He said to Brother Pike, do you think He might have said it to Oral Roberts? Is there a possibility He might have said it to Jimmy Swaggart? Is there a possibility here He might have said it to some of the other fellas? And is it a possibility that some of them just didn't do it? Come on, folks. Is there a possibility it might have trimmed up the crowd a little bit? And they wouldn't have got the hundreds of millions that they got? And they wouldn't be as famous as they are? But they would have had eternal life. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody says, you mean to tell me that's not God on them fellas? Sure, it's God. The rain's on the unjust. Not only that, but the Bible speaks of some people where the Bible said, and these ministers have transformed themselves into ministers of the Word of God. They can transform themselves into ministers of the Word of God. Somebody says, bless God, I won't have this, Brother Pike. I just know better than that, you hypocrite. God bless the man that will stand for the Word and preach the Word. Because everyone that don't is of the devil. Everyone that don't is of the devil. If you stand by them and you support them and you stand with them, then you're of the devil. I said you're of the devil. For if you bid a thing Godspeed, then you're partakers of their evil. And you're certainly bidding it Godspeed. Isn't that right? Come on, somebody say praise the Lord. Like a man told me in Colorado one time, preaching down in the tent, he said, well, Brother Pike, if I preach what you're talking about, I'll lose my half of my congregation. I said, well, ain't that what it's about, dividing, or this is what I thought, ain't that what it's about, dividing the sheep from the goat? If you want a herd of goats, you can get your herd of goats. That's all right. But folks, let me tell you, the Word of God will clean you up. The Word of God will make you live right. The Word of God will make you think right. And the Word of God will make you do what God wants you to do. But you've got to hear it. Faith is by hearing of the Word. And when you honor what the preacher says, in that it's not him speaking but God, then that means when you honor that, you've honored God. And let me tell you something, folks. Let me tell you this. I'm going to stop in a few minutes. Have a backbone. Praise God, if you don't believe what Brother Pike is preaching, if you don't believe this is the way, step up here. Step up here. Somebody said, well, I just couldn't do that, Brother Pike. No, you can go out into the darkness. You can go out somewhere else. You can run around and run your tongue like an old snake. Why don't you be a man and step up there? You know why you don't do it? Because you know it's God. And you're afraid to do it. Somebody said, we can't do that in church in New York. A man was standing up preaching something, and he was a big, big fella. Whole lot taller and bigger than I am. I stepped out from where I was at, and I stepped right up in his face, and I said, that ain't God. If you had the backbone, you'd do it too. But folks, let me tell you something. When it's God, you better leave it alone. And you better keep your tongue. You better not go from household to household subverting. And from denomination to denomination. And from people to people. You better not go around trying to hurt the revival. Whether Jack is preaching it or Brother Pike's preaching it or whoever's preaching it. If you don't want to be of God and you don't want to follow God, you leave it alone. Don't run your mouth no place. Paul said it's the mouths that need to be stopped. We're working on it tonight. You love the Lord? You love the Lord? Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Let's stand together and give God another hand, can we? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. This is good for the Baptists. I was over in Israel just a few days ago preaching to the Baptists. And I preached the same wonderful message right there in the Baptist church. And the preacher just eat it up. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody said, I'm afraid to say anything about that, Brother Pike. I'm afraid that me and the Baptist preacher won't have any fellowship. Well, me and him had fellowship. As a matter of fact, he can't hardly wait for me and him to get together to have some crusades. Folks, let me tell you, you don't lose nothing but the devil when you preach the Word of God. Can you say amen? How would you like to get rid of him anyway? Hallelujah. I feel good. Don't you feel good? Feel good and clean, like, you know. Feel like I'm on my way to heaven and feel like you're going to go to heaven too because you've been at God's speed. Don't you feel like prophesying now? Don't you feel that spirit of prophecy? When the church gets cleaned up, brother, they won't have no problem prophesying. Glory to God, they won't have no problem coming together when they get cleaned up. I feel real good. All right, we're going to sing a song. Hallelujah. I love you tonight. I thank God for you. Appreciate Jack and his wife. They're wonderful efforts to try to do something for God here, and the privilege for Jack allowing me to come here under the tent to say a few things to you. Folks of Canton, folks of the surrounding area, whoever you are, wherever you are, be a real Christian. Let's get together and let's get people together. Let me tell you something. You listen at me now. I've talked to some of these evangelists that I'm speaking about. It ain't been too long ago that me and Jimmy Swaggart was talking together. But let me tell you something. This is good for Brother Pike, and this is good for Mr. Swaggart, and this is good for Mr. Roberts, and this is good for Mr. T.L. Osborne. How many of you know him? One of the greatest missionaries in all the world, draws one of the greatest crowds. This is good for Brother T.L. Osborne. You love the Lord? Hallelujah! Glory to God, this is good for everybody. This is good for your doctor. This is good for your lawyer. It's good for your banker. I tell my banker about it. I tell the lawyer about it. I tell all of them about it. Don't have a bit of trouble. Hallelujah! You love the Lord? So then the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Let's lift it up. Whether it be in baptism, whether it be in prophecy, whether it be in preaching, whether it be in divine deliverance of healing or miracles or whatever. Let's lift up the name of the Lord. Hold the name of the Lord up. Don't go around saying glory to the Lord, glory to God. Say glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the devils will get on their way. We get in such a rut of saying glory to the Lord, glory to God. Hallelujah. We don't never call the name Jesus. And the devil reroutes the whole thing. But let's take a little time once in a while and say, praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, I love you. Somebody says, but if I do that, Brother Pike, they'll get the wrong idea about me. They'll think I'm Jesus' name. Think I'm Jesus' name. Well, he said, them that are called by my name, if they, you know, they'll call on me, I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal the land. Have you? I know you've guessed it by now. I'm Jesus' name. Sure as the world, you've discovered it. Is anybody else Jesus' name here? Now, I've discovered it. Look at there. All right. So, it's so wonderful to be a Christian. Somebody says, what do you mean, Brother Pike? You're Jesus' name. I mean, that's the only given among men, whereby men must be saved. Beginning at Jerusalem, the place that we just left, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth, salvation and remission of sin shall be taught in His name. And beloved friend, that's what I believe. I believe that we need to get right with God. I believe that we need to be right with God. Don't you believe that we need to be right with God? We need to live holy. We need to talk holy. We need to praise the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus so that people can receive healing and they can receive divine deliverance. And if you're called to be a prophet, that's good and well. If you're called to prophesy, that's good and well. And if you're called to have some gift of God there in the church, that's good and well. You go out and you let God use you and don't worry about all this conglomeration of thing of telling a person they got to speak in tongues to have the Holy Ghost. If God wants to give them the Holy Ghost, you let God give them the Holy Ghost. And don't let nobody tell you that if you believe in baptizing in Jesus' name, you belong to what they call a Jesus only or oneness or whatever. You don't let nobody tell you that. You just say, I am a Christian. Don't go around saying, I'm Methodist, I'm Baptist, I'm Presbyterian, I'm Church of God, I'm UPC. Don't go around doing that. Don't go around telling people that you're charismatic. You tell folks that you are a Christian. They were first called Christians at Antioch, and I don't mean to get to preaching again. But we are Christians. Let's forget about all the rest, okay? Let's give him another hand, can we? All right. When we get to this place, folks, and we follow the Bible as the doctrine of Christ, then we're going to see a revival like we've never seen in the history of mankind. Can't you feel it coming on? I said I can feel the revival spirit. Glory to God, all the confusion will get out of it, and people will get in here, and we'll have a move of God like we've never had before. Somebody say hallelujah. I'm going to sing a little chorus, if it's all right, Jack. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. I had Dale and some of the others here last night that was going to sing for us. But the lights went out before we got here, and the time had run up kind of close. And so I really forgot to call on them to sing. They sang so good. They're not here tonight. But we really enjoyed having them here last night. And I enjoyed being with you, and I enjoyed being with Jack tonight. And as we sang this little chorus, I want you to stop and think now. Folks, you're closer home than you was yesterday. How do you know that? I used to hear my daddy sing that song, "I'm nearer home than I was yesterday." And you're getting closer home all the time. You know, there's a lot of religions in the world, and there's a lot of preachers in the world, and the religious teachings or tutoring that they have, it might be all right to live by. You know, you can slip and slide and slip shuck a little bit, as the farmer used to say. You can do that. It might be all right, but I'm going to tell you something. When you lay down to die, when you go to press your death pillow, you won't be so quick then to go after the things of the world and to do the things that you ought to not do. I have a friend of mine. He come to me the other day. He's been around religion for many years. And he liked to die a few days ago. And he come to me just 2 or 3 days back. He said, "I'll tell you one thing." He said, "I'll never be a hypocrite again." He said, "I'll never play around on God again." He said, "No, I didn't think too much about things till I started to die." And he said, "And many things come before me." And folks, it makes a difference then. It makes a difference what you believe. You say, "Well, you just believe whatever you want to believe." But I'll tell you what, when you go to die, it makes a difference. Did you know that? It makes a difference then, because faith is by the hearing of the word. And I'm going to say this, I've said it many times to a lot of these preachers that say you don't have to be baptized. I've got a feeling when they stand before the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ says to them, "Why did you tell my people that when I am God Almighty and I made a human body and I came down to earth and I went down into a muddy river to leave you an example? I'm God. I'm the busy God of heaven and of earth. And just because you're some professional man as to a doctor, a dentist, or some preacher or something that sits behind the desk, you say that you don't have to do this and you don't have time to do this and this is not necessary to be buried in my likeness. But I'm God and I came down in a human body and I took time to do it and here I am on the throne and you're standing before me talking like that." I got a feeling they're going to feel embarrassed. And I got a feeling they're going to feel bad. And I got a feeling they're going to go to hell. Let's put it to the test. How many of you would like to walk up before the throne tonight? Embarrass Jesus, your example, saying, "Follow in His steps." And he went down to the muddy river. Just speaking of how important things are. Somebody said, "You're talking about water." I'm talking about the Word of God. It ain't a matter of water. If it was just the name alone, that would be enough. But I'm talking about the Word of God. The Word of God said that. Peter commanded those people to do that. Jesus commanded him to go into all the world and baptize. Jesus said, "Go into all the world and baptize." Everything in that Bible is important. And faith is by the hearing of the doing of that word. See, that's what it is. It's a violation of the word of God. And your faith is gone. And then you go to hell as an unbeliever. So then tonight, we're going to sing this little chorus together. I love you. I appreciate you. You gave me your minds and your hearts. And I trust tonight that what we have said, that you'll take it, lay it to heart, and go out and tell somebody. Don't go out and crush him. You know, you can take a ham of meat and kill a starving man. Go out there and meet him and talk with him as an individual. They say one-on-one in the world. And try to win him over and show him your light and show him your love. And then you can lead him into your doctrine. I'm just a little strong with you tonight because I felt like you could take it. I felt like you could take it. I just come right down the line with you. Didn't have but a couple of nights here. And the Lord let me know last night that you could take it. All we had to do was just talk to you about it, and you'd take it. Somebody says, "Oh, you just wait, Brother Pike, you'll hear from it." I know that old hypocrite, he's there. The Bible said when the sons of God came, the sons of the devil, they came also. You love the Lord? How have you appreciated the fact we got a little music? You know, in the early church, they just sang without the music. They didn't have to have music. They just went on singing anyway. And God bless them. You glad we got a little music tonight? All right, let's sing a little chorus together. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Can you sing it with me? Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. While we sing it again now, the altars are open. If you believe what I'm saying, if you believe it's that way, then you need to come down. You need to come down. If the blood is on my hands, and I've told you, then the blood is off of my hands. And if I preach wrong, then my blood is on your hands, unless you have the boldness to come and tell me. I want to sing that again. And I want you to step down here to the altar if you believe what I'm preaching. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. For there's room at the cross for you. Have you ever given your heart to God? Have you ever called on the name of the Lord? The Bible said it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you ever called upon the name of the Lord? The Bible said today is the day of salvation. Call upon the name of the Lord while He's near. Call upon the name of the Lord while you can. For today is the day of salvation. You don't have any promise for tomorrow. Today is the day. God is not interested in who you are, or who Brother Pike is, or what we are, or what we're planning to be. His Son died for a soul, to save a soul. The Bible said, he that winneth souls is wise, to bring one soul to God, to lead the 99 that's saved and go look for the stray. Come on, folks. Glory to God, this is the right way. This is God's way. This is the only way. There is no other way. The Bible said, God the Father is a great light. He's that great understanding. He's that great light. No man has ever seen Him. No man's ever going to see Him. No man is ever going to see Him. Somebody said when we get there, we're going to see Him. No man will ever see God. The Bible said no man has ever seen God. No man will ever see God. No man can see God. No man's ever seen God at any time. Said He's the great light into which no man can approach. Just to get close to Him, you disintegrate. When He comes over after the millennium, the Bible said when He appears, the mountains flee away. The ocean flees away. Everything flees away. There's nothing that left. Heaven flees away. The earth flees away. Said Jesus Christ alone, the Son of God, is dwelling in the midst of that light. And it is Christ in the midst of that light that gives you a hope. And it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Without Christ in you, you don't have any hope of glory. So tonight we get to the Father through the Son of God, through the name of Jesus. And no man can come up any other way. If you try to climb into the Spirit any other way, you're a thief and a robber. You go in without the wedding garment and you'll bind your hand and feet and cast you back out. Hundreds and thousands of people are in the move today of the outpouring of the Spirit of God. In the move of God, but it's the outpouring of the Spirit of God. And they don't have God and they're getting bound hand and feet. They are getting mixed up. They're getting indoctrinated with things. They don't know what's right. They don't know which evangelist is right. They don't know what doctrine's right. They're so crossed up and mixed up that they don't know nothing anymore. Just anybody, anything will do. You love the Lord? But tonight, we're here to go to the Heavenly Father, that great light that Jack spoke of it at the beginning of the service. To get to that great understanding. Light means understanding. That revelation. To get in the midst of that great understanding, that great revelation that gives us faith to be saved. We're here tonight to get to that through the name of Jesus, through the Son of God, through the preaching of the Word. In the beginning was the Word was God. That Word became Jesus. And we're going through the death of that body through the name of Jesus. You love the Lord? I want you to lift your hands up with me again. While you've got your hands up, if you've never made a decision for God, I want you to make it tonight. I want you to make the decision tonight. Don't wait, folks. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, it's not my time. The Bible said today is the day of salvation. The Bible said now is the accepted time. You don't wait to any certain day. The devil has put many people off. Many people in their minds have been put off saying, oh, it's not my time. It'll be another day. Today is the day of salvation. It's been time ever since Jesus died. And now is the accepted time. And if you keep putting him off and the devil keeps you putting him off, after a while you'll be killed in a wreck. And you'll find out that you don't get to God. You'll die in that kind of condition. I've seen numbers of people do it. So today is the day. Now is the time. Shall come to pass that whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. You want to call on him tonight? Would you like to call on him tonight? I want you to lift your hands up and I want you to close your eyes. And while we're standing here tonight, I want you to consider the things that I've said. I love you, folks. I wouldn't tell you nothing wrong for all of the money and the gold and silver in the world. I didn't come here to pull a dollar, to take a dime. As a matter of fact, Jack's got this tent up, and every one of you needs to do something. You need to give him something to carry this tent. You can't imagine the thousands of dollars that this tent right here, this size, costs. I've got the list at home. It costs thousands of dollars to get these kind of tents. Did you know that? And you might run out and pick up an old rag somewhere, but tents like this cost thousands of dollars. Looks like a Valdosta tent, one of the best. I've had them made there. Let me tell you something. You need to contribute. You need to help. But I didn't come to get a dime. I don't take personal offers. I just don't take it. You couldn't give it to me if you had $10 million and you walked up here tonight, you couldn't give me a dime of it. That's the truth, so help me God. I don't take personal offers. But men who work tents, and we do work tents, we have a system, and people give to that system. You need to do something for the brother to help. But tonight, I want to talk to you just a minute about your soul. I want to talk to you just a minute about your soul. Are you right with God? Have you made the crossing? Have you done anything for God? Have you got into the right frame of mind for God? Are you trying to live for God? Soon I'll be gone. Brother Jack will be here for numbers of nights. You should be here with him. But I'll be gone. But remember, God will still be here. God still wants to reach out in the neighborhood. You should go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in and tell some of them preachers in the denominations and in the churches that they need to call off some of their services and come over here to have a revival. Years ago, when a man set up a tent, they'd call off their services to come to be with him. I called off a service over there in the church, numbers of miles away, to be here with Jack. You can call off a service. They can call off some services. They should do it. Because when this tent is gone from the area, if God inspired Jack to put this tent here, and I believe he did, then that means when he's gone from this area, Canton is in for trouble, or the people are in for trouble if they don't respond to this meeting. You take my word for it. Betty, my wife, was just telling me about an area. We just left an area somewhere, and it was just told me what a devastating blow struck and the things that happened to it. And everywhere we went, our ministry has been the same. See, and when a man sets up a tent like this and comes, then you need to think it over, folks. Be glad you're here. And you go out and say something good about it. Don't do nothing to hinder people from coming. You love the Lord? While you've got your hands up and got your eyes closed, I'm going to ask Jack to come and pray with you tonight. While he's coming, think it over. Think of what I said tonight. I'd love to just spend some time with you. I told my wife today, I'd love to spend some time with you. I'd just love to be here. At the altar call, when the Spirit starts moving, God begins to reveal things. And you can see things and you can hear the voice of God. And people tonight, there's faith here tonight. Folks, there's faith here tonight. God is here tonight. There's people that's believing tonight. And usually in our meeting, we pray for them. I ministered to them in our making meeting. We had our tent up there and we had it filled up with people. And we had people running across the altar. They still have it on video where they videoed it. And people running across the altar. and the preachers praying for them, and sweat just pouring on the preachers, and people hollering and screaming, and people were being touched, and faith was at such a high tide until it was a great, miraculous, wonderful thing. You love the Lord? How about one or two of you ministers coming up here on the platform as Jack begins to minister to the people tonight? How about doing that? Come on, folks. That'll be one or two of you that's got the Spirit out there that believes in the Word of God. Come on up. Come on up. You mean to tell me we don't have no ministers here at all? There comes a couple. You love the Lord? Hallelujah. I wonder what would happen if I said some of you folks that got faith come up here. I wonder what would happen. I believe I'd get a better response. The labors are few, isn't that right? The labors are few. You can see by the response, the labors are few. All right, once again, lift your hands up and close your eyes. While the Spirit of God's moving, I don't know what Jack will do. He may call you out. He may speak to you. He may do something. I don't know. The Spirit of God is moving, and I feel faith tonight. I feel faith tonight. As I look over you, I feel faith. I really feel faith tonight. So then tonight, let's worship the Lord as the man of God comes to talk with us and pray with us, Brother Jack.